fifth chapter of the book of John. John chapter 5. If I had a title for what I'm about to say here this morning, it would be this: God's charge against us. God's charge against us. And I would use for a text verse 40 of the fifth chapter of the book of John. John chapter 5, verse 40. It says, And you. That pertains to every member of Adam's race. And ye will not. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. That's the charge against Adam's race. You will not come to me that you might have life. A man that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I say man, I mean man, woman, or a girl. Man who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ commits his soul to Him for safekeeping. He trusts in Him and he hopes in Him, in the Lord Jesus alone, for eternal salvation. He comes to Him alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. He comes with nothing in His hand. He comes with nothing to put on the table. He comes empty. He comes as He is, hopeless and helpless to gain favor with God. He comes admitting and confessing that there's nothing in Him, about Him, or pertaining to Him that would entitle Him to the blessings of God's heaven. He comes like a beggar. He comes like a pauper, having nothing, owning nothing, just as He is, trusting in this man called Jesus alone. Now, he that believes not the doctrine of Christ does not receive Him. If you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, you don't receive Him. All that are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are condemned already. Over here in verse 36 of this fourth chapter, is it? No, not the fourth chapter. Third chapter, maybe. Verse 17 of the third chapter. I said, those that do not believe the doctrine of Christ do not receive Him. Because it says in verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Which is to say that he that believeth not on Him is already condemned. He does not wait to be condemned. There's a lot of talk today about judgment to come. And there is a judgment where the goats will be on one side and the sheep will be on the other side. But it is not a judgment to determine the final end of a man. He's condemned right now, every man that does not believe on the Lord Jesus, every man that does not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for life is condemned right now. And he is in what in common conversation, he's on death row. The fellow that blowed up the federal building in Oklahoma, he's been on death row for about 5 years. He's isolated. And it's a penalty of sort. But he's been condemned. They had a jury trial of just men and women. And he had an advocate to present his case, and the government had an advocate to present their case, and the jury weighed the testimony of both sides and come to a conclusion that this young man was guilty and chargeable with this crime of killing a couple of hundred people. And so they incarcerated him and separated him to himself and locked him up. And they watch him all the time. He's always under their scrutiny. He's on death row. Condemned. The judge has already condemned him. The sentence has been pronounced. It looks like that the sentence will be carried out. It looks that way. All of the victims of that awful catastrophe in Oklahoma desire that that sentence be carried out. Some now think that maybe there would be a loophole in justice, and justice would not be satisfied. See, justice will not be satisfied until the penalty is carried out in full. Now he's on death row. We're like that if we're out of Christ. We don't wait to be condemned. We're already condemned. We was condemned when we came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies and hypocrisy. We were condemned then. We've been under the condemnation of God all of these years up until the time that God's Spirit quickened us and gave us life. See, we were dead in trespasses and in sins, and we had no life. We had a physical life, but we had no spiritual life. This is the life that counts. This life, which is in Christ, is the life that counts because it's the life that goes on and on and on and on and on. When we came into this world, we were born condemned. And let's talk about the judgment to come. That everybody's going to be gathered before God and He's going to weigh the good with the bad. And if you got more good than you had bad, why, He'll say, enter into the joy. But that's not so. That's an old wives' tale. That's a fairy tale. That's a tale of gossip. There's no truth to it. We're already condemned. He that believeth not is already right now, he's condemned. Who condemns him? God condemns him because he's a sinner. Because he has not kept the law of God perfectly, he's condemned and he's under the curse of the broken law. And the wages of the broken law is death. So he now is in a holding pen. He's on death row now. And in God's time, God will send him to hell. In God's time. Judgment is not for condemnation. Judgment is to carry out the sentence. Like the boy in Oklahoma. He's in the holding pen. Sooner or later, the sheriff and his deputies, or the warden and his deputies, is going to go to his cell and tell him, it's time. You've got 10 minutes. 10 minutes from the time that we take you from this place down to that place where a man, it'll come to pass with the fellow from Oklahoma. It'll come to pass with every one of us who will not come to Christ for life. Life is in Christ. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. Ye will not come to me. That's the charge against us. You won't come to me that you might have life. You won't come. The multiplied billions of people alive upon this planet, Earth, at any given time, are under the condemnation of God. Now, you wouldn't think that a fella that was condemned already and in the holding pen in the penitentiary in Indiana, you don't think that he would spend all of his day laughing and joking and telling funny stories and trying to be funny, joking with people, cheerful and all. You wouldn't think that'd take place, would you? No, sir, and it doesn't take place. When they put you in that holding place, and that door is shut, and you're awaiting consummation of the penalty, you ain't joking. You ain't telling funny stories. You're not hollering and laughing. You're thinking about something else. The whole world jokes and laughs, having a good time, thinking that they're going to live forever. They think that, well, it's all right. Let's have a good time, enjoy this, enjoy that, do this, do that. No time for God. And the charge is this. Ye will not come unto me and get life. That's the charge against all those that are condemned. And you don't have to wait to be condemned if you're here this morning. and you know not God in Christ, you're already condemned. And you don't have to wait to be condemned. You just wait for the sentence to be carried out. Here in this third chapter of the book of John, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. The man that comes to him, as he is, hopeless and helpless, looking for a Savior that'll save him from his sins, save him from that penalty, which is the second death. He's not saved from the penalty of the physical death. He's going to die unless God intervenes. But he's not saved from this spiritual death, this second death. He's not condemned. He got hope in Christ. But he that believeth not, doesn't believe the gospel, doesn't believe who Jesus is, doesn't believe who or what Jesus has done, does not love Jesus with all of his heart, does not follow Jesus, does not live for Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hath not believed. So he that believeth not the doctrine of Christ and does not receive Christ as his Savior is already condemned and he's dead legally. He's dead legally before the law. The law has declared him dead legally and he is dead spiritually. So all of you here this morning, including myself, who do not have life in Christ are dead and have no life and do not believe in God. Well, what does God say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 37, maybe of the fifth chapter. Let me look. Look at verse 37 in chapter 5. This is the witness of God. What do the witnesses say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Over there, we're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I'm not he. I'm not the Christ. I bear witness of the Christ. What do the witnesses say? What does the Bible say? What does God say about Christ? If you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe in Christ. If you don't believe in the Bible, you can't believe. You don't believe in Christ. You never will believe in Christ if you don't believe the Bible. The Bible is God's witness concerning His Son. What does God say? He says, and the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. God the Father, Father of light, Father of creation, the Father and controller of time and events, all wise and all powerful, who has rights. He has the right to rule, and there's no limit to that right God has all right and all power. There's none like unto God. And God, our Lord says, bears witness of me. He tells you who I am. Who is He? He is the second person of the Trinity. He's God's beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, He said, in whom I am well pleased. I bear witness of my Son, my only begotten Son. I bear witness of Him. That's what our Lord said. Said, the Father Himself hath sent me. He come appointed and anointed. He's the Christ, the Messiah. The Jews are still looking for the Messiah. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him gave He the power to become the sons of God. They're still looking. All these Jews that have the little white cap on their head and the fellow that was running for president or vice president in the Democrat ticket last election time, the Jewish fellow, I forget what his name is now, but he said that he couldn't transact government business on, was it on Sunday or on Saturday? He couldn't take his automobile, he couldn't get in his car and drive down to the temple. He couldn't, he had to walk. He didn't take the car because it was sin against God. He doesn't believe that the Messiah's come. He doesn't believe that. You say, well, he's a good man. Well, in God's sight, he's condemned. And he's just waiting for the sentence. They don't believe that this Messiah, whose name is called Jesus, is the sent one. He whom all the prophets talked about and said would come. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the last prophet. He's prophet, priest, and king. Father Himself hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Tell what you know. When you go to court, Jeff's a lawyer there, he can tell you. You go to court and to testify on behalf of the accused or on behalf of the witness. You put your hand up. They do it every time. Every time they do it, put your hand up, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God. That's what to do. That's what it is. You've got to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. And if you lie, and they catch you in that lie, you're going to go to jail. God doesn't lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He's not a man that he should lie. And the Father Himself, He sent me and hath borne witness of me. He's telling you who I am. And He's telling you about my work. He's telling you about what I'm to accomplish. He's telling you how I will enable Him, God the Father, to be just and justifier. And He said, ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. That's the charge against every one of us. God's charge against us, that ye will not come to me that you might have life. And why is it that we will not come to Him? Because we do not believe the testimony of God. You can talk about this sickly 20th century religion of hooping and hollering and jumping up and throwing song books and singing and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about this man here, whom he hath sent. Him ye believe not. Well, I said, search the Scriptures. Read the Bible. I said, if you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe God, and you're never going to be saved if you don't believe the Bible. Search the Scriptures. For in them, not them, but in the Scriptures, ye think ye have eternal life. But these Scriptures, these Bible verses, these 60-some books that comprise the Word of God, they are they which testify of me. The Father testifies of me. The Word of God testifies of me. And the charge, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That's what the Father says. Now, let me spend just a few minutes on this. What is it to believe in God? What does it mean to believe God? Just to believe in God is not salvation. Oh, I believe in God. That's not salvation, to believe in God. The devils believe in God and are condemned and will go into torment. The devils believe in God, and while they're believing, they're like this. They tremble. They tremble. Devils believe in God and tremble. What does it mean to believe in God? What does he say? He says that he bears witness of Christ. And that witness is Christ. He's the last prophet. That's who he is. Prophet, priest, and king. What is it to believe what all these witnesses say? If you believe all these witnesses, you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe the witnesses, the witness of John the Baptist, the witness of all the prophets, the witness of God Himself, the witness of Christ, the witness of the Scriptures. If you'll believe these four or five witnesses here, you will come to Christ. If you don't believe these witnesses, you will not come to Christ and have life. Oh, it doesn't make any difference what you know. Say, well, I know this and I know that and I've been here and I've been there. It doesn't make any bit of difference what you know and what you don't know. If you don't believe these witnesses, if you don't believe the Bible, if you don't believe God the Father, if you don't believe the prophets, if you don't believe the written Word of God, then you will not come to Christ. But if you believe them, you will come to Christ. Believe these witnesses. Well, believe the prophets. Well, someone said, well, what about old Moses? You believe Moses? I believe Moses. Well, you say Moses is the law. I believe in Moses. He taught those people something. You know what Moses believed? Let me tell you, he's a witness. Look up here in this last verse of the fifth chapter. 46th and 47th verse. Well, 45th verse. 44th verse. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? All right, now listen to this. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. That's the law. The Ten Commandments came by Moses. You're trusting in the Ten Commandments. You're saying, well, I don't cuss, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go to picture show, and I don't run with others that do. No salvation in that. You're under some sort of a law. Well, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now listen to this. Our Lord said, had ye believed Moses. Now you fellas that are saying you believe in Moses, had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you'd have believed Moses, you'd believe me, because that's what he talked about. He wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Well, he charges us. He says, you will not come to me. You won't do it. On your own, you won't do it. It takes a supernatural power to make us realize what we are in ourselves. Every man, you see, by nature, every man by nature is dead and without life. And have life. You won't cut. Life's in Christ. And if you won't come to Christ, you haven't got life. Every man by nature is dead and without life, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I have life, you say. Well, let me correct you. There is a life that you need more than the life that you possess, which is eternal. And it's in Christ. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. You got a life, yeah. You're aware of some things. But you're already condemned. And you need a better life than the life that you have now. The life that you have now will soon end. And you'll wind up. If you go as you are determined by your nature to go, you'll wind up in a place so terrible I dare not think about it. Scares me just to even think about it. Going into that vastless territory, unmarked, uncharted, that's dark, down in the dark. Can't see a hand in front of you. You can't see a finger as you wave it. It's dark. It's always dark. The light never shines. Listen. You haven't got life. The life you need is eternal life, and it's in Him. But you won't come to Him to have that eternal life. You say, I have life. Well, if you have life, then why did He say, come unto me that you might have life? You don't have no life. You're dead. Legally and spiritually before God, you're dead. And you will not come. If we have got to have life, invariably that means that we must be dead. You will not come to me. If life's in Him, we must be dead. All of us are dead legally by nature. God said to Adam, God said to Adam, He said, the day you eat, you will die. He didn't die physically. He didn't die physically, but he died spiritually, and he died legally before the law of God. Dead. He was considered by the law as dead. Now a person that is dead can't do anything. Used to be a dead man couldn't vote. Used to be like that. They had men on the election board that checked these things out. And he couldn't vote if he was dead. But they say nowadays in some places, dead men are able to vote. But we know that a man by the law is considered dead. And he can't do anything. For instance, there, Joe, is a nice boat over there in that fella's yard. But it's for sale. It's for sale. But the man that's dead can't buy it. He can't buy anything. He can't do anything because he's dead. Say, well, there's an excursion coming up. We're going to take a Caribbean cruise, and it's on a lower price. Instead of costing $500, it only costs $250. You can't take that cruise because you're dead, legally dead. All of you, all over, society considers you. All of you here this morning that have not life in Christ are dead legally. Adam was dead legally because he disobeyed God's holy law. And he died. Alive, but dead. Alive, but dead. John 3:36, condemned already. And it says that the wrath of God abides on you. Not will abide on you. Not might happen at some time or the other between now and death abide on you, but says the wrath of God abideth on you now. Think of it. Death row. Got to know Christ. You will not come to me that you might have life. You won't come. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That's a charge. You don't get nothing else I've said this morning. You remember that in John chapter 5 and verse 40 is the charge of God against the human race. You will not. You see, the coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is coming by the grace of God. All of us are unwilling to come. But when we are made to see, the natural man doesn't see this, but a man who has some light, the light of God has shined into his conscience. And his conscience has been aroused. It's a dead conscience now, but it's been aroused. And he sees himself as God sees him, as one without hope. He needs a Savior. He needs his sins forgiven. He needs to have his sins blotted completely out and never brought up in judgment against him. He needs that. He needs a righteousness that will make him sinlessly perfect before God's throne. He needs a life that will never end. And all of this, forgiveness of sins, justification by faith, a perfect life, a sinless life, a righteousness that will meet the demands of God's law is only in Christ. When he sees sees how bad he is and all this rolls up, he'll come to Christ. When he believes the Scriptures, when he believes the Word, when he believes John the Baptist, when he believes Moses, and when he believes the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he'll gather himself up and say, I'm coming to Christ. I'm trusting him. He only is my salvation. He only. He'll keep me to the end. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you. That's the kind of religion I believe in. Someone asked and said, well, what kind of a church you got up there? I said, it's not mine. It's not mine. I have no part by way of ownership. I said, it's what people would call a grace church. Well, they said, what is a grace church? I said, a grace church is one that preaches and teaches that man is absolutely worthless, and it's a church that gives God